here we are with, you know, Patricia McConnell and I have done a lot of work together over the years, and we can barely stop talking about what's going on and what's going on in our own lives when we get a chance to get together. And so it's great to have her with us today. You know, dogs, I think they share 99% of their DNA with wolves, but that other 1% does make a pretty big difference. As we talk with Patricia, of course, she's a certified applied animal behaviorist. She's an international speaker. She's written some wonderful books, guides and training and behavior problems, some personal, and gets her own personal self in one or two of her books, and they're all good ones. And we want to talk with her today about dogs and wolves, how they're related and maybe how they're different and alike at the same time. And I hope you'll join in. Have you had a close encounter with a wolf? I've had a couple, and they were amazing experiences for me. What about you? Give us a call with your questions and or experiences. The number is 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And Patricia, good to see you again.
Hi, Larry.
I was going to tell you, I had, well, as long as I mentioned it, I had an experience. I was in the Shawangunk National Forest one morning before light, walking into the woods, and a wolf howled, and another one answered, and I just sat down and listened.
Dreamy. Oh, that sounds heavenly.
It was a wonderful. And another time I was in the woods, and came across in the national forest, came across a marsh, got to watch him go across the marsh, and those are wonderful experiences.
They are. They're so special. And you know what? What motivated me to talk about this topic is actually because of an amazing organization. Larry, you know about it. I know you've had them on the show before, Wisconsin Green Fire.
Yeah.
And I'm actually giving a talk on April 5th, but it's full. I'm so sorry. About the differences between wolves and dogs. And Adrian Wideven, I know you've also had him on
your
show, one of Wisconsin's premier wolf experts. And we're both going to be talking about wolves, and he'll talk about their status. I'll talk about the differences between wolves and dogs. So it's, you know, it really is fascinating that wolves are so much like dogs. They're super playful as adults, which is very rare in the mammalian world. You wouldn't think so, but it's actually really rare. They're hyper, uber social, so social that they will even lactate for the young of others. I mean, they'll take care of the young of others, but some females will actually start producing milk for the young of others. They live in packs, as we well know. So they're playful, they're super social, they strategize together, they hunt socially, which a lot of animals don't. You know, cats can be very social sometimes, but they always hunt as a solitary unit. So they're so similar, and if they're so similar, then why, when I went into a wolf pen at Wolf Park, there's actually a picture of me sitting beside a wolf named Ayla. We're both looking at the camera. I'm in complete rapture, Larry. I'm like in total wolf rapture. I'm like, I'm in a pen with a wolf. I'm so excited. I was just like a five-year-old idiot, basically.
I looked at that picture. It's on your blog. And by the way, that's a great blog. But go ahead with the story, and then we'll talk about the blog.
But you know what I mean? Because I'm looking like basically a golden retriever. And the wolf is looking Ayla with this unbelievably serious, grown-up, direct stare right at the camera. And a friend of mine saw it, even said, Trisha, did you really know what was this? So, you know, so if they're so the same, wolves and dogs, 99% of shared genetic material, so much behavior is the same, why was my friend worried about me sitting beside a wolf? Why, if I had heaven forbid, because I'm completely opposed to this, a wolf who lived in my house, I could cuddle on the couch with that wolf, but never in a million years would I invite you, Larry, or anybody listening to come and cuddle on the couch with my wolf. Whereas if you did come to my house, Skip would be on you in a minute, leaning his cheek against your cheek, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're a girl, because he's a player. But so one of the things I'm going to talk about for Wisconsin Green Fire is one of the biggest differences between wolves and dogs is their behavior around strangers. And one of the coolest pieces of research that I know of that's come out in the last couple of years, it was done by Von Holt and Udell. They were really curious about what is this huge disconnect between the reaction to strangers, between dogs and wolves. And because they knew a lot of genetics, they looked at chromosome 7, at particular sites of the genes on chromosome 7. And we know in humans that variations or mutations within that particular chromosome lead to something in humans called Williams-Beuren syndrome. And Williams-Beuren syndrome has effects on physiology, on sort of structure. But one of the most obvious ones is it creates this super hyper-social young child who loves everybody with no boundaries and no shyness at all. I actually knew a young woman who has that syndrome when she was like between, I would say, 8 and 12. And she would come up to you as a complete stranger, sit in your lap and look at you like you are her lost love. And she'd say, I love you. And, and we actually called her, a human golden retriever, right? But it was a nightmare for her mother, right?
Sure,
because,
of course.
Right? For obvious reasons, for her parents. But this syndrome, drum roll please, is found, it's very complicated genetically. So there are a whole bunch of genetic changes.
Yeah.
But those changes are found in high amounts in domestic dogs and not in wolves.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? So that's part of what's probably going on. Now, it gets very complicated because you think golden retrievers would have more of it. No, they don't. Just to keep us humble and remind us that genetics are incredibly complicated. But that and the fact that we know that you can breed for docility, based on the research of Belayev and Ludmila Trout on fur foxes, we know you can breed for docility. So that's some of the reason why you don't want to invite a stranger, right, into your wolf pen without being very thoughtful about it.
Mike in Stratford has a comment for us about an interaction with a wolf pack. Hi, Mike.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing? This is awesome show for today. About 25 years ago, when baiting was still legal up in Park Falls area on the Log Creek on the Flambeau River, I encountered a Log Creek pack. Had seen them many times before in my hunting escapades up there, but I was out baiting. It was at dark, and the pack was around me. They were behind me, and I had one on each side of me flanking me about 30 to 80 yards off. It was really spooky, and I was never so glad to get back to my truck.
The hair on the back of your neck up. I'm not saying this is about our caller, because I think our caller sounds very wise about the ways of wolves, but it is extremely rare it's extremely rare for wolves to actually hurt people, partly because they are so shy. Very interesting you were surrounded by them. There must have been some resource, maybe. I don't know what time of year it was. There's always a breeding and puppies that changes wolf behavior. But that would be a remarkable, notable experience without question.
It would indeed. Well, how do wolves, they're social animals, you say. How do they, talk a bit more about how they represent that in the field? I mean, how do they display that? What?
Oh, yeah. I think it was Meech who wrote that the soul of a wolf is the pack. I'm not quoting that right, but basically they are extremely family pack oriented. And there is a breeding female and a breeding male. Some of the roles within those packs have been oversimplified. The whole thing about a quote dominant, you know, there is something to the fact that wolves have a hierarchy, but they do much more. They are much more successful hunting if they're in groups. Some of the mm-hmm. packs can get very large, 15, 20 animals. They can pull down big animals because they are, one can be strategic. You know, I mean, the basis for a working border collie is that people have bred back to the tendency of, at least this is the belief anyway,
yeah.
of individual wolves running around, big, huge, wide circle to the back of the prey animals and then running them into the jaws of the rest of the hunting pack. So packs, pack life is incredibly important. Lone wolves are always looking to join up. Obviously, they need a female. If it's a male, you know, to be mm-hmm. able to breed. But there is a tremendous amount of energy in maintaining a territory for this group of animals and in each animal's playing a different role often. So, for example, the breeding female, the breeding male, obviously they mate. But they may go off hunting, and an aunt or a nurse, young or, you know, could be older female, right?
Mm-hmm.
She will be a babysitter. She will stay home. She will take care of them. She will protect them. There are individuals who are always protecting the territory. Wolves can be extremely aggressive to non-pack wolves. They can kill them. They will chase them. Sometimes they kill them. So they are hyper-territorial. But again, the essence of a wolf is a wolf pack.
The essence. I'm wondering about eye contact. That came up in your blog, and I think you've sort of mentioned it a little bit here. But what is it about dogs versus wolves when it comes to eye contact?
I love that you brought that one up, because that's one of my favorite differences between dogs and wolves. It turns out, so first of all, we all know eye contact is a hugely important part of our social relationships, right? Direct eye contact means a lot. So if a stranger on the street walked up to me and walked right up to my face and stared at my face, I would possibly bite him. But I should just say that people do that to dogs all the time, and that's not okay either. But between friends or family members, direct eye contact is a really important way of maintaining social bonds. And the research, there's been a lot of new research comparing the behavior of dogs and wolves, and this is just one of them. Turns out that, first of all, dogs establish eye contact with people at a much younger age than wolves, at 5 weeks, much, much younger than wolves do. They also, they tend to keep eye contact, so sort of long periods of what calls mutual gazing. We all know what that means, right? You're in love with somebody and you just look at each other's eyes, right? But we do that with our dogs a lot. And they also found that people who spend a lot of time with this mutual gaze, looking into their dog's eyes and vice versa, have increased levels of oxytocin. And here's a
Which
cool
part. Which is the good thing.
And so do dogs. But people who don't have a lot of eye contact with dogs, you don't see that increase in oxytocin when they're together. And it's not true with wolves. And part of the reason, I haven't gone deep into some of all this research, but basically I would love to see the research on who was the person who tried to maintain a long period of close eye contact with a wolf? I mean, when I went into Ayla's pen, the first thing that I'd watch an hour-long show on what to do and what to not do. I went in with a highly trained caretaker and wolf handler, and I went in and I was told, do not look her in the eye. Do not look her in the eye. I was also told, if she nips your pants, put your hand in her mouth, I'm not making that up, and push her head away. I did not do that. But she did nip my pants. And while I was like, was that a nip? Should I do? You know, in the millisecond that my brain was going like, what should I do? The caretaker pushed her head away from me.
So What was going on with the wolf when she took that little nip on your? Is it a dominance thing?
I think it's more a territorial thing. You know, it's like you've just come into my territory. She had to be outside of the pack for some reason. I don't remember. The Wolf Park in Indiana has a very large enclosure with a wolf pack who lives there. They have their own little lake and pond. They do a lot of research and public education. But in the pack, sometimes they have to pull wolves out of the pack for some reason. You know, it might be that all the females in the pack decide they don't want her there anymore. And they can be really, really aggressive about it. You either leave the pack or we'll kill you. And so she had been taken for whatever reason. So she was in a sort of her own pen at the moment. So it was deemed that it was safe for me after, going through this elaborate mm-hmm. ritual, learning, talking, thinking with a caretaker. They trusted me to do the right thing. I was coming into her territory. And I think that was just like a little like, yo, who are you?
Patricia McConnell, our guest today. We're talking, taking a look at how wolves and dogs are different and similar, can be at the same time. You can join in. Questions, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Taking a look at the differences and similarities between wolves and dogs with our guest, Patricia McConnell, certified applied animal behaviorist and old I don't know. Well, we've been friends for a while.
Oh, I'm old. I'm definitely
well,
old.
Well, so am I. So I guess we're old friends.
We're
old friends.
We're not dead yet.
You can join in, and I hope you do. You mentioned Greenfire earlier. Tell us a little more about Greenfire.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking. It's an incredibly great, important organization. It was basically started by scientists who either retired or worked for the DNR. Which during the Walker years was a little different kind of a place. Basically, they are committed. They have so many dozens and dozens of incredibly smart, dedicated volunteers, really smart people working on all kinds of aspects of conservation in Wisconsin. And basically, I got involved because I don't need to add up that most of us, many of us, no matter what side you're on, feel like the world is a little bit of a mess right now. And one of the things I decided is I was going to double down on something I felt like I could have an effect on, which is keeping our land, our air, our animals, you know, the life we live in Wisconsin as safe as possible. And Wisconsin Greenfire is one of the groups that do that. So I'm actually an ambassador, which I'm very proud about. So I'm really excited about this fundraiser we're doing on the 5th, and I just encourage people to check it out because, you know, it's sort of up to us right now. It's sort of all up to us, the citizens. And if you love the land, if you love wolves howling, if you love clean water and clean air, etc., then this is a great organization to check out.
Let's take some questions. Jeff and Merrill, your turn. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, another old guy joining in with me here today.
Okay.
I was in Tomahawk on my way to Rhinelander on a county road, and I saw what I was pretty sure was a wolf on the tree line, and so I pulled over to watch it. It's not often that you get to, you know, see it. So I pulled over, got out of the car, and I'm watching it, and sure enough, it's definitely a wolf, and it's along the tree line. I could see it looking right at me, and I was looking right at it. It started walking toward me. It looked like it was injured. I couldn't tell. It was leaning on its coat.
Oh, you're breaking up. I'm sorry. So Jeff had an encounter with a wolf, eye contact with a wolf. The wolf starts walking toward him. It appears as though the wolf is injured.
Wow, and we're left not knowing what happened.
A
shame. You know, there are a lot of instances of animals, even taxonomically way farther removed from us than wolves, who have sought out humans. So many marine mammals, for example. Yeah. I mean, there are lots of animals who, for some reason, seem to know or believe or hope that a human can help them. So it, I would not discount that at all. I think it's very possible. I wouldn't want to be the one to try and take a snare off a wolf, for example, without somebody there, you know, to help. But it's, there are a lot of examples, very, very credible, of animals seeking out help from us humans.
Dave in Eagle River, your turn. Hi, Dave.
Hello. You there?
Yeah, what's on your mind, Dave?
Just the whole wolf and dog thing. Me and my wife, we had basically adopted a hybrid wolf dog at 8 weeks old years ago. Somebody had bought this dog from somebody that wasn't supposed to have it where they were living. So we ended up with it, and he was half wolf and half, or half wolf, quarter German Shepherd and quarter Husky. And all the years we had him, and we had him for, he passed away, he was almost 15, and we never had a problem with that guy ever. He didn't, he wasn't super social with other people. There was about a handful of people. He never bothered anybody. He would come up, walk up behind you and look at you, but he wouldn't attack nobody or anything by no means.
Comment on that, Patricia.
Yeah, I am. Well, one, good for you for for creating a home, a safe, good home for this hybrid. It's pretty controversial. I actually talked about my concerns about wolf dog hybrids. I'm not in favor of them. I actually got death threats. Because of talking about that. We live in a crazy world, but there's so much we talked about variation, right? There's so much variation, and I have no question, and good for you for giving this animal a home. It sounds like this wolf dog hybrid was very cautious around people. Sounded like there were just sort of a few people who could come in, and I'm very proud of you. Kudos to you. It sounded like you handled it and managed it really, really well. I work with a wolf-dog hybrid. It was a higher percent wolf. It looked very much like a wolf. It was a client who came to me years ago. And all I can tell you, the animal had bitten his wife several times over objects. We're being possessive about objects. Mm. And I did what I have always done with dogs. I basically was doing counter conditioning. So put an object down on the floor and then threw a huge handful of cooked pieces of chicken, like real chicken, 10 feet away from me. This wolf-dog hybrid walked over to the chicken, ate the chicken, came back, and I went to reach towards the toy to hand it to the wolf. Here, take it. Bit my hand, looking at my eyes dead on, and I would bet the farm, and I have one, that the wolf was saying, "Don't you ever touch my stuff."
Whoa. Oh, my goodness. Jeff and Merrill pulled over to get, maybe you can finish your comment. The wolf was coming for you, Jeff, and what?
Yeah, I thought it was injured. I apologize. I hope I hold on here. But anyway, it was, long story short, it kept following the tree line, and we were locked, and I know we were locked eyes on eyes. I thought it was injured. Well, it seemed like it was like I was in that moment for a half hour, but I'm sure it was only about 3 minutes at the max.
Yeah.
Well, from behind me, a school bus came around the corner, and from that wolf looking at me dead on, me looking at it, that school bus came around, the wolf stopped in its tracks and bolted the other way. So I'm just curious. That when you mentioned the eye contact, that brought that memory back, and I'm just curious. What happened between that wolf and I that day, and could it have possibly been injured, and would it be looking for a human?
Well, it could have been a couple of things. I mean, direct stares to unfamiliar people are threats. So it's possible. I mean, the answer is I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but it's possible that that direct stare was like, who are you? What are you doing? You get out of here. It's also possible that in this case, this wolf was trying to communicate something to you personally, wolf to human, and was trying to tell you something, whether it was injured or its puppy, its pup was injured. This is just going to be a great mystery that you're leaving us with. But thank you for sharing that story. It is amazing to have encounters with them. I was very lucky in Yellowstone, and we heard a wolf howling to our right. Pack behind us started howling. We got to watch them meet up and greet each other, and it was like a highlight of life.
Yeah, it is indeed a highlight of life. You're a highlight of life.
Thank
you, Patricia, for coming by and spending some of your time with us today. Patricia McConnell, always fun to have her come by, and she'll come back again, I'm sure, down the road here. She is a certified applied animal behaviorist, and take a look at her blog. PatriciaMcConnell.com is her site, where she's got lots of good information, but her blog is really a good one. And I loved all of the comments from those who read the blog. That's kind of almost as much fun as anything else.
I learned so much. There's a village all around the world. They're great.
Yeah, they are indeed. And you'll be with us, I think, the end of May. So we'll look forward to that. Patricia McConnell, our guest. Big thanks to you for listening. And big thanks to our producers, Clara Neipert, Joel Patnott, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller, and we'll meet up again tomorrow here on WPR News.